Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is Naja E. Brown, your host, and we thank you for your support and participation. Hope for Today is an outreach program of Yield to the King Ministry, and our hope and prayer for our listening audience is that you hear something that is encouraging, life-altering, or prompting you to study the Word of God. We welcome your comments anytime, and you can reach us through our website at www.yieldtothekingministry.org. Well, welcome to today's episode entitled The Holy Bible. Three words, the Holy Bible, that are just powerful and transformative. The promotional material reads, "The Holy Bible is the sacred word of God. It shows his character and accounts for God's revelation of himself to his people. God caused the Bible to be written for the express purpose of revealing to us his plan for redemption. In each section of the Bible, we see God's holy, unchanging, faithful, gracious, and loving character. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Holy Bible. You know, I can remember when I first was introduced to the Bible. My father was quite the Bible scholar, and he made sure that his five daughters, had knowledge of its existence. It wasn't until I became a young adult that I was curious about its content. So my life wasn't going in the best direction, and I had tried other belief systems, and I had come to a dead end. One day, my father gathered us all. I think there were three of us out of the five girls, and we were able to bring along with us some friends, and he started a Bible study on the book of Daniel. That was my first introduction to the Bible for myself. Over the course of the study of the book of Daniel, I became a little unsettled over the dialogue and what we were reading and talking about that had everything to do with the end times and the chain of events that were going to happen. Now, Daniel wasn't the most easy book to comprehend, but I understood it enough to know that I was on the outskirts of the redeemed people of the Lord. That was the awakening, the spiritual awakening that caused me to start my journey to come to know more about Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And as the story goes, I eventually became a believer in Christ. And not only do I read the Bible now, but I also meditate on his word and I guard it in my heart. So those early seeds that were planted in my life from the study of Daniel, even though it was a head knowledge because the heart transformation had not yet occurred, God's word did not return to him void. I began a quest to know and memorize scripture. And the benefit of knowing scripture enriched my life through personal application. The more we understand the Word of God, the more frequent application will occur in our lives. Eventually, we'll come to know our Heavenly Father and his purpose plans for us. There are many Bibles of different religions, and there is the Mohammedan Quran, there's the Buddhist canon of sacred scripture, there's the Zoroastrian Zend Avesta, and the Brahman Veda. And they all begin with some sort of flash of true light, and then it ends in utter darkness. And, you know, even the most casual observer or someone who is in search of the truth soon discovers that the Holy Bible, the Holy Christian Bible, is radically different. Why? Because it is the only book that offers redemption to mankind and points the way out of our dilemma. Today I want to give you an overview of the Bible. So this would be an exhaustive study, but today's going to be an overview. It's going to lay a foundation for anyone who's listening. And hopefully and prayerfully it will encourage you to explore the Word of God on your own. So let's begin with the story of the Bible. The Old Testament asks a question. How can we be right with God since we've chosen our own way? And the book of Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12, and it's also recorded in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 25, and this is the New King James Version, it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So the Old Testament question, how can we be right with God since we've chosen our own way? And we just read that our own way, it's an end to a way of death. It's the end, and so there's no way out of that. The New Testament answers the question that it's through the grace of God given through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we can become or be right with God. So in John 3:16, New American Standard Bible, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So therein lies the answer, the grace of God through the death, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible has a timeline. You know how you can pick up a fictional or non-fictional novel and book and reading, and it's going to put you in some sort of timeline, some sort of time frame. It could be past, it could be present, and it can even be future. So the Bible timeline is from the beginning to approximately AD 400. AD stands for Anno Domini, which is a Latin for in the year of the Lord, and that refers specifically to the birth of Christ. So from the beginning, so when was the beginning and what kind of chronology can we, time can we add, put to it? I can't tell you that because I don't know. I've heard millions of years ago, billions of years ago, thousands of years ago. I just know that there was the beginning because Genesis 1:1 tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there was a beginning. And then up to about AD 400, specifically referring to the birth of Christ. And then here's the interesting thing is during the timeline of however many thousands of years before Christ, let's just say if we wanted to, 8,000 BC, and BC stands for before Christ, up to AD 400, there were other events happening all over the world. So the Bible captures what is going on during those times, and it's a very specific area. It's a very specific geographical area. So the geography would be around the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea, and that includes today Southeast Europe, Egypt, what we knew Canaan to be, Israel, Western Asia, Turkey, central region of Anatolia, Greece, Cyprus, Syria, Lebanon today. I mean, all that area right there, all the activity that was going on that we get to read about and learn about in the Bible would be in that specific area. So now let's talk about from where did the Bible come? And someone may say, well, who wrote it? Well, there are several authors and some unknown, and some of them are unknown, and they too recorded the scrolls. We just don't know who actually wrote it, but we can look at the books that Moses wrote. We can look at all the epistles that Paul wrote. We can look at what, James wrote. We can look at all of the authors, those who we know, and say they are the ones who wrote it. And then you may ask, well, who compiled it? Who compiled the Holy Bible? Well, the first answer is God. In the providence of God, he has preserved, revealed, and presented his word to us just as he wished. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, it declares that those who penned scripture were moved by the Holy Spirit. So they didn't act upon their own volition. And this kind of refutes that whole discussion that comes up often, that the Bible was written by man and it contradicts itself. There's mistakes and it can't be translated through all these from one language to the next and still be accurate. So who compiled it? And who wrote it and how was it written? Well, God compiled it because he, in his providential care, preserved, revealed, and presented his word just as he wished. And then those who did the writing on the scrolls were moved by the Holy Spirit. The second answer then, who compiled it, would be that there was a process that involved councils to decide which books were to be included. So how did it get to us in the form that it is in? So we're familiar with the Protestant Bible, the Catholic Bible. The Protestant Bible, the Old and New Testament, it would be called the canon. So the process is called canonization. And first, the books were recognized. This is sort of the criteria. The books were recognized as being inspired by God. Second, these sacred texts were received by men of God. And then third, the books of the Bible were preserved and collected by God's people. So it was God's people who were being moved by the Holy Spirit who were in charge of this. And if we go back up and we think about how the Bible ended up being the way it is for us today to be able to read God's providential care. He preserved it, revealed it, and presented his word to us just as he wished. He protected that whole process. So just so that you know, and it's acknowledged that there were other books that were written but not included. And then there were some books that didn't make the canon, and we know that the Protestant canonization process left a few books out. And the Protestant Bible is different from the Catholic Bible. And some of those other books that were left out of the Protestant Bible were included in the Catholic Bible. I'll let you do a little research to see if you can figure out which books those are. And then the basic anatomy of the Bible is that there are 66 books of the Bible, 39 Old Testament books, and 27 New Testament books. And the categorical books of the Bible would be the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. Then we've got history, we've got wisdom, we've got the prophetic books, which would include the major and minor prophets. We've got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so on. We've got history, we've got the letters or the epistles, and then we have prophecy again. And so that's the anatomy of the Bible. And in the Bible as we know it today, the canon has been sealed. Nothing else is going to be added or taken away. But it's not in chronological order. I have a Bible that is in chronological order. It's not easy to use if you're going to a worship service or going to a place where you want to flip to the book and follow along with whatever the readings are. I know people use electronic devices now, but this is, I just want to make my point here. It's not in chronological order. It's good for studying so that you can see how the books can be grouped according to the century in which they were written, but it's difficult to carry with you and have during a worship service. Then the final question is, what does the Bible say? So what does the Bible say about itself? Let's say 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, New American Standard Bible says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Verse 21 says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So they didn't act upon their own. They were being moved and driven by the Holy Spirit. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the New American Standard Bible, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts of the attitudes and attitudes of the heart. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, New American Standard Bible, it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Verse 17 says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then in John chapter 20, verse 31, New American Standard Bible says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And then finally, James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, New American Standard Bible, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in at his face in a mirror. Verse 24 says, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. 25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So let's read, study, and meditate on the Holy Bible, the sacred word of God. It is our roadmap in life. The word of God, the Holy Bible, is all we need to live this life according to God's purpose and plans for us. And with that, I want to say may God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And we'll talk again in a couple of weeks. God bless you.